Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. We're backstage here, Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Mabee Center. 8,000 women, sold-out crowd for our second stop of our 2026 By Still Waters Extraordinary Women Tour. And God has fallen all over this place, especially while using who I believe is one of his greatest mouthpieces for today's generations, Miss Jenny Allen, who's in the house. Renowned speaker. She's a podcaster. She's an author. She is somebody that God is using to see revival across college campuses, within prisons, and really to get to the heart of the Big C Global Church. Jenny, our friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Jenny, welcome. Great to have you.
I always love being with you guys. I'm so just grateful for the work you do, and just it's always an honor to be.
Jenny, hearing you and what God did in that place, just through your heart, through your vulnerability, calling people into confession, calling people back to the Lord. You mentioned a word that I want to touch on just up front, and we're talking about what happened at Southeastern University, Asbury, just the revival we've seen. Unite College Campus Crusades. It's remarkable. I was talking to Dad. I was talking to your husband, Zach. It just seems like wherever revival is breaking out, there's an anointing on Jenny Allen's life to be in the room. Jenny, talk about the desperation that you're seeing in this generation.
Oh, well, I have been really blessed. I think I'm going to have to count up exactly how many rooms I would call revival. And let me just say what I mean by that. That it's a mass level of repentance, a mass level of salvations. Y'all have experienced that. In fact, they were calling. I wasn't out there just now because I was coming here, but they just did that an altar call.
Oh, I was watching.
It was stunning. And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways to define that, but I just a mass movement of God where there's a response, where you see repentance, you see coming to Jesus. And I have been in the room a lot, and I would just say it's such an honor to see it every time, and you can't believe it. And when you're in the room, you just know it is an act of God. You know it. And and there are some things that are usually present. And so I think one reason I've been blessed to get to see it is many times I'm leading repentance. And so that's been when it's broken out a lot of times, certainly at SEU in the last few weeks, that was the story. And so, yeah, there's a desperation where students are saying what they need to say. Because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times just today people came up and told me the lie they've been believing, the sin they've been struggling with, the abortion they had when they were 16, and they've never told anybody until today.
Yes.
And for many of them, they are 50, 60s, you know, and they've held on to this for decades. And so to shift the power struggle from secrets and isolation, the enemy has all the power, to freedom and confession, you know, that's what 1 John tells us, is that if we confess our sins, he is actually in the business of healing us. Like, we find healing through confession. And so that's what, you know, I do believe, and I've seen it over and over again. And desperation is happening. I mean, there is desperation everywhere.
Jenny, I've found through the years that when people come to the end of themselves, when they sense that powerlessness, you know, that there's nothing else they can do. They've even gotten to a place maybe where they thought life would be better off without them type thing. That God is often at his best. That it's in those moments when we begin to see that, and literally when you have no place to turn but up. You know that? That's the moment that if we respond right there, and we're seeing it. You know, what's the word say? If I be lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. That's what I think is happening. There's a power of God because of the desperation of today's generations. As you look at that, there's a lot of things that keep people in the dark. You know, that shame piece, like you mentioned, just the sin of the past, or maybe being hurt or abused or confused or whatever it was, but it just began to fuel and pull us into a direction that we just can't seem to break free of.
Mm. I think shame, I'm so glad you said that word. Our friend, Dr. Kurt Thompson, I know you love him as well, wrote a book called The Soul of Shame. And it was such a powerful work because I don't know if I've ever heard it addressed so bluntly and clearly like he did in that book. And what you know and what he says is, you know, sin is actually not the worst enemy.
Yeah.
The worser enemy is shame, because sin was paid for at the cross, but shame stays with us. Shame sticks to our bones.
It's
you know, it
looks like tar on
your
body.
It does. Yes, and I know that is the ploy of the enemy. Right? It's not just to get us to sin. It's to cause us to feel so much shame that we would never tell anybody about an abortion we had when we were 16 because we can't say that out loud, and we'll be rejected. And God won't forgive me, and people can't forgive that, and I'll hold it as a secret for the rest of my life.
Right.
And then they say it, and I mean, I'm upstairs, and they physically, you can see the likeness they feel, and they just said the thing they're terrified to say for decades out loud, and they feel more freedom than they've ever felt. And I watch that with every age, with male, female, it doesn't matter. You say it out loud, and there is a lightness that enters because you're actually testing what you say you believe about Jesus. Mm. You know, Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when someone does this, when someone says a thing they're scared to say, and they put all their weight on that verse, and they test it, and they go, "Wait, I'm okay. Like, I can breathe deeper. I feel the love of God. I experience the love of God. I said that to, you know, my friend out loud." I think it's why it's so important not just to say it to God, but to other people, because then you experience the love of God from that person that you said it out loud to.
Yes.
So people can surround you. And I've seen that over and over again.
Mm. Jenny, I want to ask, because this book, The Lie You Don't Know You Believe, How to Find It, Fight It, and Live Free, you talk about three primary core lies that I believe every person at some time in their life probably fights.
Mm.
I'm worthless. I'm helpless. I'm unlovable.
Yeah.
I'd love for you just to, as you see people
breaking
out in confession, as people come to you, just even up there in lines, in this room, in this space, what are some of the biggest lies that they're coming to you with? And what maybe is a lie that you have believed in the past that kind of robbed you from living the free life?
Yeah, so those three lies are actually taken from Psychology 101. That's not me. I didn't come up with that. That is researched and studied and accepted as core identity lies.
Sure, it goes way back.
And so those three lies aren't completely recognizable in our lives. We're not sitting around saying I'm worthless all the time, right? Like that's not usually the phrasing, but we'll say something like, if I don't hit that mark, I need to hit the mark. I need to strive. I need to hit the mark.
In order to be okay.
In order to be okay. In order to be accepted. Or I don't know what to do when people don't like me. And so we pull on relationships and we need everybody to be okay with us. Or if we can't get control, then we'll try to hyper control everything, or we'll just give up because we can't control anything, and we just can't get a new job, and we can't solve our issues because we're hopeless and helpless. And so you see it show up in a lot of different ways in people's lives. We're not necessarily repeating those phrases over and over again, but you see signs of it in your lives. And so when I think about upstairs, you know, just today, it was things like, I feel rejected. I feel betrayed, and I don't feel loved because of that. I feel like I am not worthy of love. That's when I hear a lot, that I'm not worthy of love. And you know, to be clear, this is something that the enemy has designed for us that we would believe to put us in bondage, but also circumstances and relationships and things like that have come across in our lives to back that lie up, right?
Yes,
like
sure.
We have been betrayed.
Sure.
We have been hurt.
Yes.
These things have happened. And so we have the evidence to say, no, this is true, and we defend it. And the reason I called it the lie you don't know you believe is because we actually think it's true. Like, we actually would defend it. If somebody brought it to our mind and said, hey, I think you are believing a lie that you are worthless, it's like, well, let me show you all the evidence that I am. And I've watched it over and over again. My daughter did that to me. She defended it to me, and it broke my heart because I just don't, of course you don't want your kids to feel that way.
Yeah.
And yet, and you haven't ever felt that way about them.
Yes.
And yet they've picked this up and really believed it.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of Jamie Winship has that book, Live Fearless, and Identity Exchange. And he often says that all identity is received from the outside in. Mm. And so I'm thinking about psychology. I'm thinking about our thought life and thought patterns, this neural wiring, right? The brain doesn't believe if the thought is true. It just believes what you continually repeat.
Yeah.
It agrees with what, in a sense, the thought that you attach to or the thought that you agree with. And so many people out there are living a life of fear, are living a life that is limited of all the capability that God has placed on their life and that God is destined for them in the road ahead because they've been living and believing a false narrative all along. And I'm just thinking about people, what would you say to somebody out there that maybe feels like they're ruminating, they're pathologically obsessed with this lie, and all of a sudden it's beginning to stunt their spiritual health and growth?
Oh, well, first of all, there's so much grace for this because we have to remember we're not fighting ourselves. We're not fighting flesh and blood. Like, we're fighting an enemy that hates us, that terrorized us as children, that caused us to believe these things young. This is not about you being a failure. This is not about you being extra broken and that's why you believe these lies. This is the human condition. And this is the enemy of our soul, right? And so I love John Eldridge says that, like, the enemy comes for the beloved of God. And I think that's so helpful because it's like, you're not extra broken. You're beloved by God, and so the enemy comes for you. And especially in the form of lies, right? Now, it's up to us if we believe him and accept him and agree with him or not. And I think that's where I hope people feel like maybe it's not true. Maybe this is something I've been thinking and it's not even true. Yeah. And I think that moment for people can be really powerful. So my hope would be not that people would beat themselves up and go, I can't believe I believe this. I've got to fight it. I've got to push it back. It's like, no, the love of God, like, is this invitation that is better than the lie. And I think that's what I pray for people, is that they experience that, you know, his delight over them. That's one of the things I write a lot about, is the delight of God, because we think God loves us because he's supposed to. We don't think he delights over us, that he likes us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think as we walk with God and have friendship with God and know Jesus in a more intimate way and experience his love for us, we start to exhale and go, maybe it's not true. Maybe it's not true. And that's a beautiful thing to watch happen for people.
No more beautiful thing in the whole world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they actually love you. Yeah. Nothing more painful than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't love you.
Ugh.
Or you don't feel loved by them. So when all of a sudden the floodgates come open and you're broken and barren, in those moments, you're going to turn to deep desperation and darkness, or you're going to reach.
Right.
You know that? And God hates it when we reach for something else.
Right.
He simply wants us to run. That's the sacred romance of Scripture, going back to Eldridge and company.
Yes.
You know that? And so it's like this power.
Great book, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable
yeah.
when you can get to that place.
Yes.
But it's so hard to receive that love. Jenny, I want to go into modern day culture just for a second, toss it back to Zach. But when you look at what's happening with, let's talk about women, girls in particular.
Yeah.
You look at a CDC report comes out that says 57% of our daughters and our granddaughters feel persistently sad.
Mm.
Now, I'm talking about the CDC report, okay?
Yeah, I know.
30% have seriously contemplated suicide. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about a mental health crisis. You're talking about a mental health disaster.
Yeah.
And you've got something in culture that's running absolutely amok.
Yeah.
Crazy. This is tidal waving away from us. Mm. And there's this pull at the same time with this desperation piece.
Yeah.
Okay. How and what do you do in these moments? You just saw 8,000 women out there. Mm. You could see it. Yeah. You could read the room.
Oh, yeah. They're all raising their hand. This is me. I'm stuck. I think we're in the darkest of times. You know, the best of times and the worst of times.
That's exactly right.
So let's be honest about that. Yeah. And I know it's true. Like, I bet it's worse. I mean, I really do. I hate to say that. But when we're talking about young people, they're given phones at such a young age. They're comparing themselves to the most beautiful people in the world at such a young age. They believe they are worthless, that they are not lovable, that they are not beautiful, that there is nothing good about their lives. They are sent that message indirectly and directly, unfortunately, over and over again. And there is no, unless you throw
It's like we can't compete. No, you know, Zach talks about the phone. He talks about porn. Yep. And he talks about pressure. That's a toxic mix.
It is.
And everybody's getting lost in it, Jenny. And we're fighting, trying to hold on, bring some type of message of hope back. But it's like the church isn't winning here.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. It's scary. And we need to. I think we need to be really radical with how we're going to continue to do this life. I mean, I think, you know, we need to be looking into, I mean, my prayer, and I really believe this is about to happen, that Gen Z is going to create technology that protects us better than anyone because they've been addicted for so long.
Yep.
There's got to be better technology.
I'd love that you say that because I found out with college kids, they're going to be tougher on their kids.
Yeah, they are.
Than their kids, mom and dad were on their kids, on them.
My kids thank me for everything I did, and they will be way more radical. Oh, yeah. I mean, my daughter is in college, and she told me that the big hot thing right now is Brick, which is you know?
I have one.
Yeah, you put it on, and it blocks all your socials, and she said, we're all using it. We're using it all the time. I call it old money and new money.
Yeah.
I think our generations were kind of new money, and we just got these phones, and we knew what it was like to not have them, and we got addicted. And I think they watched it all, and they watched it in themselves and their friends, and they're like, we're not doing this anymore. Sure. Most of my kids are not regularly on social media. Most of my kids give their password to someone that they love, and they don't get in until, I mean, they've set their own boundaries as adults and young adults that just blows me away. And so I do think they're going to be wiser. They're going to be more cautious. I'm believing in that. But at the same time, we do have an epidemic, and it is terrifying. And yet I watch every day and dare we lose hope, because we have the hope of the world, and it works. We have seen it work, and I've seen it, you know, I'll be baptizing a little girl, and she's like, I named suicide ideation tonight. And I will pray over her. I will baptize her in the name of Jesus. She will come up, and there will be a lightness and a joy to her that makes me question my theology on baptism. Cause I'm like, what is even happening? Like this is real. Like it is, something is falling off of her. Mm. We need to get crazy in our prayer lives. We need to be crazy parents. Yeah. I am, you know, you pray over those babies. Who cares what they think? They'll understand and appreciate it one day. Yes. Like you pray over their room, you pray over everything about their lives, and you pray against the evil that is coming toward them. There is a scheme, and we've got to fight it. And as the people that are raising the next generation, like we need to be, and you know, grandparenting the next generation, we need to be weird. We need to be
crazy
prayers. Yes. And I just don't care anymore what my kids think. My son-in-law was facing something hard. We're out to eat. He's sharing it. We all load up in my car, and we're laying hands on him, and we are praying against dark forces. Like, that's where we are these days. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, I don't care what anyone thinks. We're going to be crazy.
Well, Ephesians 6 is still in the Bible.
That's right.
Exactly right.
I mean, we're in a fight.
We're in a fight.
Jenny, as we wrap up, I started with the word desperation. You just alluded to the word determination. I loved you said out there that you are not just content with seeing revival across college campuses or within prisons. You want it to truly continue because it already has started within the Big C Global Church.
And look at him throwing softballs.
I mean, you couldn't give me a better question.
That's right. And what I just wanted to ask is, what is just a final prayer for people out there, for the generation, as you continue to remain determined, but at the same time, you talked and you kind of closed your message with how we should speak to the devil. I'm thinking of somebody out there that's struggling, that's disappointed, that's believing the lie.
Yeah.
What's a final word you want to leave with them?
I'll go here. At the end of Jesus and the enemy facing off in the wilderness, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and nights, and the enemy comes to him and tempts him and lies to him and twists the truth and tries to offer him things in this world, temporary things. And at the end, he says, get away from me, Satan. Mm. And I think we have accepted the lies too long. Mm. We have received what the enemy has given us, and we've just agreed with it and accepted it. And so my prayer is that the church would rise up and say, get away from me, Satan. Mm. And that we would turn and go, this is not true. Mm. And it's not true about myself, and it's not true about God. And then, you know, we have to know our Bibles to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And we have to know the truth. And so we do speak the truth to the enemy. This is who I am. This is who God says that I am. And it's more powerful. And I think we should pray.
Absolutely.
Because I just think of the person listening right now that is like, I am so beat up. I'm so exhausted. I don't even think I have words to the Lord or to the enemy. So we want to pray these over you right now. Mm. So God, God, help. God, I pray for the person that's in her car that feels like she cannot imagine freedom. Mm. She can't imagine life without these toxic thoughts, without thinking of ending her life. God, you want a different way. And so we pray in the name of Jesus for freedom. We pray over this person's life right now. The power of the love of God over their life. Would you be present near? And I pray that you would judge the enemy in the way that he has come against this person. Mm-hmm. God, protect them and heal them. Mm-hmm. And God, reveal your love to them in such a way that they can't miss it. Thank you that you do love us in such a way that it's hard to miss, that you have sent your son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we need your help. Yes. We need to change our minds, and it feels hard. And so, God, would you be the power and the way and the truth and the life and the love and the peace and the patience and the kindness, all the things we can't muster up ourselves. Would you do that in and through us? We know that you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Jenny Revelation Allen. 12, hey, it was a great battle in heaven, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the power of his testimony.
That's right.
You know, in sports, Jenny, guys look at each other. They do this thing, I see you. I see you. And when somebody says, I see you and I love you, you know that? He'll run through a brick wall.
That's right.
You got what I'm saying?
I got you.
And I think when you understand heaven says, I see you.
Yep.
That's right.
Got it. I see you. You know that?
Yeah.
We just want to say to you, we see you.
That's right, Jenny.
And the great work God's doing in and through you, we're going to pray God will continue to, quote, strengthen you, encourage you, put a hedge about you, you know that, and energize you at a whole nother level.
Amen to that.
And we can't wait to see what God's going to do.
I receive that. Thank you.
Jenny, I want to close this way. Where can our audience go to find out more about you?
Yes.
To pick up a copy of one of your best-selling books, Untangle Your Emotions, Get Out of Your Head, Find Your People, The Lie You Don't Know You Believe. Where can they go?
Yeah, JennyAllen.com, JennyAllen.com. Everything's there.
Jenny, again, thank you.
Yes.
We love you. We appreciate you. We love doing life with you. Your husband, Zach, thank you guys for all that you do, for all that you stand for. Thank you for being ambassadors for Christ.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in the fam.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.